Tonight, I want us to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. throughout the year, people get catalogs of all kinds, and many of them have gadgets in them and technological advances in them. Some of them are clothing catalogs. Some of them are ammunition and guns and munitions and all of those kinds of things. Some of them are toy catalogs, but I want you to know when you take the Bible, this is the first Christmas catalog, and on every page, you and I find treasures and gifts that we can have in our lives. But unlike most Christmas catalogs, there's no prices listed here because the price of every item has already been paid in full. And we saw that this morning by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we look at this passage in Luke's gospel, in verses 26 and 27, first of all, I want you to notice the angelic appearance. The angelic appearance. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. When Ken and Barb were singing that song a few moments ago, that from this tiny little baby was all of this incredible power. Now, when Gabriel, the angel, comes to make this great announcement, Gabriel's name means God is powerful. God is powerful. Aren't you grateful tonight to know that he's the most powerful thing in heaven and on earth? While we look at all kinds of things that we may think that are filled with power, let me tell you, none surpass God because he is all powerful. Now, when Gabriel shows up, he reminds everybody, just because of the significance of his name, that God is all powerful. It was Gabriel, this angel. And when we did our angel studies, we talked about these angels. Michael, the archangel, is a protecting angel. And he's certainly a protecting angel of the nation of Israel. Gabriel, meaning God is all powerful, he's an announcing angel. It was Gabriel who came to Zacharias and Elizabeth and told them that they were going to have a child. And that child, of course, would be none other than John that would come bearing good news about the Lord. Zacharias, if you'll remember, he was a priest. And Elizabeth, his wife, and they both loved the Lord and they wanted to have a child. And in Luke chapter 1, 7 says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Now, someone said that youth looks ahead. Old age looks back, but middle age looks tired. Isn't that true tonight? Middle age looks tired. Youth looks ahead, old age looks back, but middle age looks tired. Now, Gabriel shows up here, and he's an angel of the Lord. It says, appeared to him, speaking of Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Let me tell you, what all churches all over the world need is for an angel to show up, amen? And I'm sure if you and I could really see in the spiritual invisible world tonight, I'm sure that we would see encamped around us are angels all about us. It was there at that place of worship where Zacharias was that Gabriel, he comes and he delivers God's message to Zacharias. In fact, in verse 13 of that verse, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. I don't know about you, but I can just sort of envision, sort of upon speculation, see poor old Zacharias just scratching his head. He's thinking, how on earth could this ever happen? In fact, look what he asked Gabriel in verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel Gabriel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Verse 19, and the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands," get this, "in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Let me tell you, everywhere Gabriel went, his presence and his pronouncements reminded everyone that God is all-powerful, that God is the omnipotent God. Let me tell you, there's not anything in this world tonight or in the heavens tonight that God cannot do unless he chooses not to do it. He is the all-powerful one. And I believe that when people walk out of church, I don't want them just to say, "Wow, that was a powerful message," or "Wow, that was a powerful testimony," or "Wow, that was a powerful song." But what I would hope that each one of us would do when we walk out of church, we'd look up into the heavens and say, "Wow, God is all powerful." Every time a person walks the aisles to receive the Lord Jesus into their life, let me tell you, our heart thought ought to be, "God is so awesome. God is great. God is so powerful." And every time a person goes through the baptismal waters, and we're reminded when we put somebody under the water of the death and the burial, and then they're raised to walk in newness of life, which represents an old life, but it represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to say God is all powerful. Every time a marriage gets restored, every time somebody recommits their heart and life to Christ, every time a life is set aside to fulfill a plan and purpose of God calling them into Christian service, whether it be to be a minister or to be a missionary around the world or to be an evangelist, wherever they are, we ought to thank God and say God is all powerful. Notice in verse 19, Gabriel, it says, stood in the presence of God. Gabriel stood in the presence of God. I want you to think about that tonight for just a minute. Did you realize one of these days, you and I will stand in the presence of God? We sing that old hymn, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean." How marvelous, how wonderful. Let me tell you, we serve an awesome God tonight. Let me tell you something. If you want to be greatly used of God, if you truly want the power of God in your life, then you and I need to start spending time in the presence of God. What does that mean? To spend time in the presence of God. I live upon this earth. Well, God resides in my heart through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And when my life is centered and focused upon allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, to move me, and to direct my attitude, I'm standing in the presence of this all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, immutable God. And that ought to be something we could say, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, amen. Well, the angelic appearance, Gabriel appears. Secondly, tonight, I want you to look at the amazing announcement. Now, Gabriel had a special announcement, and this announcement didn't come from the Washington Post. It came from God himself to a little girl named Mary. In fact, if you read this carefully, he had a twofold announcement. He announced her status before the Lord in verse 28. He announced her status. What was that? He said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, some people would mean take that to mean that Mary was blessed above women, but that's not what Gabriel said. He didn't say that Mary was blessed above women, but that she was rather blessed among women. Now, men, we so oftentimes love to blame Eve for Adam's sin. We love to say, well, it was the woman that tempted him with that apple and that brought sin into the world. But let me remind you that it was a woman that brought the Savior into the world. Now, what did Gabriel mean when he referred to Mary as being highly favored in verse 28? Well, the Greek literally says, you are much graced. God had dealt with Mary on the same basis as he deals with you and me, by his grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace giving us what we don't deserve. Christ's riches, God's riches at Christ's expense. And so, without God's grace, you and I would have no pardon for the past. We would have no power to live in the present, and we certainly would have no prospect for the future. And here's how John described the coming of Jesus in the flesh. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, that's speaking of Jesus, and the Word became flesh. That's what we call the incarnation, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Or that literally means grace upon grace. Let me tell you, grace is God giving you and me what we don't deserve. Let me tell you, how are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That wonderful grace, we are sealed by grace. We are secured by grace. And I spoke about that this morning when I quoted the words to that wonderful old hymn, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. And so no wonder Gabriel told Mary to rejoice. She was much graced by God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's because you have been much graced by God. And then notice how Mary responded to the angel Gabriel's visit in beginning in verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then look in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Literally, that means you found grace with God. Do you know what removes fear from our lives? Let me tell you, it's the grace of God. That's what this Christmas celebration is all about. God's saving grace, God's settling grace, God's living grace, and God gives us dying grace. So Gabriel announced her status before the Lord. She was highly favored among women. But he also announced her selection by the Lord, verses 31 to 34. You will conceive. Let me tell you, Mary had been selected by the Lord to bring forth the Savior, and she's told that his name will be Jesus, which is the Greek equivalent of that word, that name, Joshua, which means Jehovah saves, Jehovah rescues. Let me tell you, when people name their child Joshua, it gives a great, incredible peace because it means that God saves, God delivers. And aren't we grateful that he does tonight? In Matthew 1:21, Matthew said, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let me tell you, what a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit, verse 35, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Do you see it there? The power behind the virgin birth was the Holy Spirit that moved upon her. Yes, she was a virgin girl. She would be the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit would conceive in her the Savior of the world. Let me tell you, the principle behind the virgin birth is that there is absolutely nothing impossible with God. We sing that song, Ken, nothing is impossible when you give it to the Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus was God in human flesh. God was his Father. And like Father, like Son. You'll remember Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a lot of people that just cannot accept that idea that God and Jesus are the same. They are a part of the Godhead. They just operate in different fashions. Let me tell you, in the book of Genesis, when it said, let us make man in our image, the plural pronoun us and the possessive pronoun our there, our image, those pronouns there are referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And so God steps out of heaven's glory in the form of human flesh as Jesus. And he came at Christmas or whatever the day was, so that he could give us life and life more abundantly and everlasting. Well, we see the angelic appearance tonight in Luke's gospel. We see the amazing announcement that was made to this girl, Mary. And then I want you to notice third and lastly, the anticipated acceptance. The anticipated acceptance, verse 34 to 38, says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary said, Gabriel, in other words, like you and I would say, Mary would say, let it be. Mary accepted this. You know, she didn't have to accept it. Let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in, with 60 million aborted babies in America alone, 60 million, that would cover a cemetery 100 miles square out there. Can you only imagine? Let me tell you, Mary didn't have to accept that. You know, she could have perhaps aborted baby Jesus. Can you only imagine? Can you only imagine tonight the babies that have been aborted out there that someone would love to have had a baby that couldn't, that would love to have adopted a baby? Can you imagine all of the grandparents out there in the world that would love to have had a baby that they could be grandparents over? Let me tell you, don't you know the scuttle was buzzing in the city of Nazareth about Mary and Joseph? I mean, they're engaged and in that oriental type of marriage arranged by parents in those days. You can only imagine, even though they were engaged, that would be like marriage today, except in that day, it would take a legal divorce to get rid of that, even though they had not consummated the marriage and wouldn't for at least a year. Can you only imagine the scorn that she must have gone through as the town gossips of Nazareth surely talked about all of these things. But let me tell you what Mary did. She just accepted. I can see old Gabriel now ascending back to heaven, gathering all the other angels around him. And after gathering all of heaven together, can't you just hear Gabriel say, I have some wonderful news. Mary has accepted to be the wonderful mother. Listen carefully. If it takes more of God's love and God's grace to save a sinner than it did for him to send his son, creation was no problem to God whatsoever. He just spoke it into existence. The virgin birth was no big deal to God either. The only time God went to any trouble was at Calvary, where his virgin-born son was nailed to Calvary's cross, that you and I might be able to have redemption and reconciliation to a holy God and to be able to have eternal life. Mary accepted the word of God. Let me tell you, you and I, we need to accept the word of God, because if you don't have the word of God as your standard for living, then you absolutely are caught in a world of hopelessness. No wonder Jesus would say the night before he died, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you, I'm grateful tonight to know that God has this world all planned out. I'm grateful to know that He has appointed a time and a place for each of us to exit this life, but we'll never be more alive than we will be at that moment. I'm grateful to know, because it sure makes life a lot easier for me to live if I know that my days are numbered, that my steps are determined, that He's got my times in His hands, that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, and that you and I cannot add one more minute to our lives. I don't know about you, but that gives me peace and comfort to know that He has a plan for life. And when we've accomplished that plan and that purpose, and many people get their plan and their purpose accomplished early in life, and they exit this life into the presence of heaven, it gives me pause to know that there's somebody bigger than this world out there who knows all about our times. I'm grateful. It's easier to live life. If I have to feel all the time that I'm responsible for the days of my life, I mean, the moments that I have a breathing, it'd be hard to go to sleep at night, wouldn't it? But whenever we know the one who's counted our breaths, from the moment He breathed into us the breath of earthly life and we became a living soul, and then He knows our eternal breathing from the moment we are just quickly translated out of this life into His presence, it sure does make life a lot easier to live. This week, when you and your family gather around your Christmas tree, if you do that, remember this: the real Christmas tree has more than blinking lights on it. It had the light of the world hanging on a tree. The real Christmas tree was the cross, and a blood-stained tree it was. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, we find these words, who himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you ready for Christmas? Because none of us is ready for Christmas unless we have received the Christ of Christmas. Would you stand as we pray together this evening? Father, thank you for the wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for his shed blood and his resurrection and his ascension and his coming one of these days. And to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, where we will live for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Father, thank you for the Christ of Christmas. We thank you tonight. We adore you. We love you. We magnify you. May we keep Christ in Christmas every day of our hearts and lives. And may our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Father, take each one safely to their homes. Bring us back on Thursday evening at 5 for this Christmas Eve service as we sing and as we talk about this wonderful, magnificent Jesus. We thank you that you save, that you deliver. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Hope to see you back Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. Please be safe, and God bless you and your family.